Oh my God.
That was such a great episode.
Yes, it was.
So good.
Welcome to another Clue Done It sidecast on Only Murders in the Building.
Episode 7.
The Boy from 6B, which may have just been one of the best 30 minutes of television I have ever seen in my life.
Oh my gosh, it was so great.
For many reasons, if not just for the fact that Jessica...
Well, yes, I am super excited because, yes, I can be doing a da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da or... I don't know. Whatever
kind of appropriate victory dance there is.
Like, yeah, me, gold medal. Because I feel like, you know, 10 episodes, right? Now, yeah. So we have 4 more episodes.
Three.
But I feel like 3?
Yeah. This is episode 7.
8, 9, 10.
Yeah, we just watched episode 7.
No, we just watched episode 6.
No, we just watched episode 7.
Oh,
the boy
7.
From
you're
episode
right,
7,
right.
The boy okay. From 6B.
Okay.
Math aside, you guessed the murderer or a murderer correctly.
Yes. Well, and it was an accident. Seriously.
Yes. Who knew, beginning when you were talking about a cheesemonger and then his son showed up, that you knew that it would be the son of the cheesemonger?
Well, I have been saying all this time.
Yes.
That
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, since seeing Theo in the background,
yes.
I was like,
he's involved somehow.
He's involved somehow. He... Definitely. Well, we saw it. We saw it. Spoilers, everybody. He killed Zoe. He pushes Zoe off of him. It seems like from the camera mm-hmm. angles and what was happening, he pushes her off of him because she is really pushing him against him and they're holding on together, whatever. And she goes over the side.
She goes over the side of
the building. And so it's manslaughter. He didn't kill her.
He killed her. He wasn't homicide in that he didn't have a plan. He didn't think about it ahead of time. It happened in the moment, but he still killed her. He committed manslaughter right there.
He pushed her off of him,
yeah.
And it happened to be right over the edge of
accidental manslaughter. That's what this, but yes, it was him. But so yes, congratulations.
Yes, yes. So he did it, and then he goes and Teddy kind of figures it out because he comes home from the party and is like throwing up and just a total freaking out mess.
Which,
and
you know,
his dad
appropriate.
Would you be? Yeah, if you're the person that you were totally in love with and were basically proposing marriage to Zoe.
So, I hope you have seen this episode because there is so much we have just like assumed that you knew about all this, and maybe we'll get to a plot recap here in a minute. Maybe not. I don't know. This is a short show.
Yeah.
But oh my God.
So Theo, Teddy is like, oh my God, something bad happened, right? Tell me, it's bad. I need to know 3 things. Is it bad? Like,
how bad is it?
How bad is it?
Were you responsible?
Were you responsible?
And did anyone see you?
Did anyone see you? And Tim Kono saw.
Tim Kono saw it all. And this is what's great. So we think Tim Kono is an asshole this whole time. He's
yes.
been nothing but an asshole.
But like, Teddy threatens Tim Kono
and says, Tim Kono.
If you don't keep quiet, I will come after you and your friend. What's her name? And
Theo gives up Mabel.
Yeah, it gives up Mabel, signs it out.
And so, yeah, so Tim this
very
whole time.
Very clearly, M-A-B-E-L.
So suddenly Tim Kono is no longer an asshole. Tim Kono is doing this selfless act to protect Mabel, which it's still shitty. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there is some fucked up things going on right here.
Yeah.
But he's doing it to protect Mabel because he really does love Mabel.
Yeah. And Oscar went to jail and he
took the rap.
Took the rap, clearly.
Because Tim didn't want to say anything because
yeah.
Tim's life was threatened and so was Mabel's
life. And so he probably also, I mean, he didn't have anything, you know. He didn't feel like a loyalty to Oscar to protect him from jail, but maybe he also thought, well, Oscar really likes Mabel too, and he would like me to protect Mabel too.
Well, yes, and also to a certain extent, Oscar has probably already been arrested at this point because this is later in the evening. See, one of the great things, because we don't know an exact timeline here. We kind of know a timeline here because what's happened is this episode, the point of view of this episode is from Theo, Teddy's son, who's deaf, who we learned way back when. So there is only, as far as I could tell, there's only one line of spoken dialogue in this whole episode. Everything else is lip reading and signing and texting. It's not silent. We'll talk about sound. Oh my God, I'm going to talk about sound in this episode. But
And Scrabble.
The most seductive game of Scrabble ever. Weirdly. Anyways, but all of this is quiet. So you don't hear the fight. You don't hear, like, the sound of Theo's sound in the world is a kind of, like, not noise machine. It's kind of like being underwater, except no, like underwater, you still hear sounds. Like this is just that kind of just like that weird hum that you kind of get if you're the only one in a pool and everything's just quiet
There's
around
like
you.
There's like some edge noise, unintelligible. Yeah.
But not even really. And this is one of the things, because we know, like, you know from seeing other people's reactions to things. So in the flashback, when Theo has pushed Zoe off the edge, he comes down to 6B where Teddy is sitting, pukes up his guts. Teddy knows something is wrong. He finds something. He realizes, were you responsible? But Teddy's first words are, we don't have a lot of time. And you see that, and you see Teddy looking over his shoulder, which you can only assume is because of the sirens.
Yes.
There are sirens coming. So he knows that something's going on, even though Theo can't hear it. So this is what I mean by, we don't know the timeline here. When Teddy and Theo confront Tim, which, by the way, lots of T's on the page. I wonder what that was like to read. But no. So when Teddy and Theo are confronting Tim, we don't have a timeline on that. Yeah. We don't hear any sirens. We don't know if the cops are still there. We don't know if this is before they've taken Oscar away. We don't know anything, which is phenomenal. And I love it. I love this episode so hard.
It is really phenomenal.
Another reason I love this flipping episode. So Teddy, Broadway producer, one of the first scenes is he's sitting in his living room and he's listening to an album on headphones. And the album he's listening to is Carousel. And it's not just a song from Carousel. If you at all familiar with musical theater, you know the song I'm going to tell right now. It's Soliloquy, which is Bill's monologue where he realizes, basically it's all about him bragging about the fact he's going to have a boy. And it's going to be awesome. He's going to be the best dad. And he's going to do anything he can to protect his son. He's like, you know what? I'm going to be the best dad. I'm going to make sure that no one pushes my boy around. I'm going to do anything I can to like make sure that my boy is great and fine and good. And in the album, like in the song, what you re- like later on, what happens is like, it's a great moment of musical theater. Bill realizes, wait a minute, if it's not a boy, it's a daughter. I'm going to have to take care of this daughter. A daughter doesn't need a pal. Mm-hmm. A daughter needs a father. I'm going to have to take care of her. And that's when he's just like, I will do anything for this daughter. I will go get money to be a good father for this daughter, whether I have to steal it, or take it. And that is when he goes off and like gets killed trying to steal things. Mm-hmm. So like, it's so perfect with Teddy, of course, because Teddy really wants Theo to, like, he loses his temper with Theo because he like keeps turning up the music louder and louder and louder to get,
you're like, you hear this,
you
song.
Hear this, you hear this, you hear this. And Theo just doesn't, he's deaf. Of course he can't hear it.
No.
And Teddy is, of course, horrified at himself and very apologetic. But again, that whole through line, I'm going to do anything in my power, like commit crimes to keep you safe and make sure that you grow up strong and nobody tells you what to do.
Yeah.
This was a great episode.
Yes, yes, thematically. And the thing is about that song, as you said, Sondheim said about that song that it changed musical theater, that everything after that, stories being told in song, people going through
character development in song, like a song could move that forward. Yes.
Well, this episode, that song changes everything.
Yes.
This changes the whole direction of the episode. And the end of the episode, Oliver and Mabel are in the back of a van.
Locked up and duct tape over their mouths in the back of Theo's van.
Their eyes, too, kind of, right?
I think they're blindfolded, too, yes.
Blindfolded?
I think they're, well,
looks
I mean, like
there's duct tape over
there
their eyes.
There might be duct tape.
There
definitely
goes their eyebrows.
But yes, because what you find out in this episode is that, yes, Angel is the jewel thief. They have been grave robbing people. Theo works in a funeral home, thank you, where they like take gold fillings out of dead people. They take their jewelry and then they sell it on the black market.
We're here to do recaps of the episode.
Yes.
We're just
it's important to say that that's how they got to the funeral home. Like they discovered that they discovered this clue with the urn.
Yeah.
They went there. Now they're in the back of Theo's van. That's what I was trying to get to.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, phenomenal episode. Like crazy well written.
I want to read this episode so badly. Like I said, one line of dialogue, we did it, followed by laughter. Of course, we still don't know who killed Tim Kono.
I mean, I think we're led to believe that Teddy did it.
We are certainly led to believe that, yes. But we're only on episode 7. This is 10 episodes. We're giving some Christie's out at the end of this, is what I'm saying.
Okay,
so,
okay. Well,
and besides, we also don't know. Are they in cahoots with someone?
Okay, so here are the guesses, right? We know now
who
that
killed
Theo
Zoe.
Killed Zoe.
Theo
but
killed
that was
Zoe,
and that was really never in the question of right. that we were supposed to be guessing on. We were supposed to be guessing who kills Oscar, because Mabel's like, I didn't do it.
Who
in the
kills
very
Oscar
first
and
episode,
who kills Tim Kono?
And who killed Tim Kono?
Yes.
So, Jacob.
Yes.
What do you think?
Okay. So I have two things here, one serious and one just absolutely funny. So for my funny one, there's a little vignette in here where Theo goes to the front door and messes with the front doorman to get the master key to the apartments so that he can get into his dad's apartment. Because apparently Theo has his own apartment in the building now. He doesn't live with Teddy anymore. But he messes around with the guy at the doorman, and he tells the doorman.
No. He wants to get the master key so yes. he can get into Steve Martin's apartment.
Oh, you're right. You're right. He gets into Steve
yes.
Martin's. Yes, you're right.
Charles's
he,
apartment.
He gets into Charles's apartment so he can take pictures of the murder board and everything else.
Yeah,
yes,
and look at
you're
it
correct.
Closer.
You're correct. But anyways, he's there. He's messing with people he's messing with the doorman. And the person talking to the doorman right there is the therapist. I forget the therapist's name off the top of my head.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember his name either.
Through the magic of editing, we may or may not tell you the name of the therapist. Dr. Grover Stanley, played by Russell G. Jones, thank you, magic of editing, is at the front desk. And he is complaining about somebody above him who says that it sounds like they're shoveling snow or something like this all the time. And he's being kind of mean to the doorman. And the doorman, like, tries to ASL sign about the customer's always right to Theo. And Theo gives him this, like, no, people in this town are fucking horrible. Theo is really angry. Like, Theo hates everybody, basically.
Yeah.
Or at least modern-day Theo does. He's also a little scared. He does some good eye acting. Theo
yes.
does some good eye acting. Like you really feel for him through this episode. In any event, it's his POV episode, as well you should, like, have
yeah.
a lot of empathy for him. But... So the only two people in this episode, other than our main group of characters and Teddy and Theo, are that doctor and Jan, because there's a whole subplot where Charles and Jan get together and
yeah.
they have a beautiful little, there's this great moment. Oh, so good. The sound in this episode, so good. They're like, they greet each other at the door. They don't say anything. She looks at the bookshelf. He puts a record on. It's this like jazz song. It's playing like you hear it through the record player. And then like it's diegetic sound. And then it becomes like direct sound into the theater. Like it just opens
yeah,
up and it sounds,
yeah.
it's a beautiful little moment as they're dancing. In any event. So Jan and the doctor, those are the only two other people in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm being silly, I just have to say that it's the doctor. The doctor is now in it somehow, and he is like complaining. Or if we knew where the doctor lived, and I wonder if they like told us that at some point, and like we would know that people above, whatever. It's either the doctor or Jan. I can't really make a case for the doctor. I don't know why complaining about sound would make him like the murderer. So I'm going to have to go with Jan. And I still do feel about it. So, like, Jan, so they, at the end of the episode, after a very weirdly sexy, not sexy game of Scrabble. By the way, I want to pause for a moment on this game of Scrabble.
Okay.
They're playing with each other, and there are lots of long words on the board. There's, like, opulent.
Fabulous.
But then there are also words like gut and emu. eventually they seduce each other with, like, hard, wood, wet, sexy. Anyways, but like I'm just saying, I think Jan is the one who's putting all the long words down. So they seduce each other. They go off and have some sex. They wake up. Okay, so Charles wakes up in the middle of the night after their dalliance and gets all the text messages from them. And they pan over to Jan on the bed, who's just like, she kind of sighs and curls up under the covers a little bit there. I swear she had her eyes open. I went back and rewound that scene 3 times, and it doesn't look as if her eyes are open, but it feels like her eyes are open. It feels like she's watching Charles and watching what's going on.
Yeah. And we didn't rewind all the way back to the beginning of the scene when
yeah.
they're first, when Charles is first waking up, and I thought she was eyes open.
Yeah.
And we didn't rewind that, but when Charles
we
comes
totally
back
should have.
To
Why didn't
bed,
you say anything?
Oh,
ah, it's too late. The tape's rolling now. I can't
okay,
do anything
yes.
about it.
So Jan.
So
do you think Jan.
I'm going with Jan. I don't know what her angle is on this. Maybe she like hides the jewels in her like bassoon case
Maybe
or
it has
something.
Nothing to do with the jewels at all.
Maybe
still.
It doesn't. Maybe it still doesn't. Like yeah. Maybe she just didn't like him.
Yeah.
And like just wanted, like she didn't
maybe
like.
Maybe she is the serial killer, I thought from the very beginning. Sorry, I shouldn't be.
No, you're right. Maybe she is. Maybe she's just a, maybe, yes, you're, like, again, there are going to be so many Christies handed out at the end of this. Because it could be very well two things, not even linked at all.
Yeah.
She's just like, she's just a serial killer. Well, if she was a serial killer, maybe there would be somebody else there who, like, and why would she get, anyways.
There would be other murders.
There would be other murders in the building. So I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm not coming up with a motive, but I'm back to Jan. I'm back because, again, 7 episodes. We got 3 episodes more. I think Jan is coming back around.
Okay. All right.
I don't know that you need a guess. I think you get a pass this episode because you were right. Like, you get something out of all of this.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, I do, because Teddy, not...
I get to put satisfaction knowing of a guess well done.
Yeah, and so Theo definitely
killed Zoe.
And I think my guess is, again, Deli Man killed Tim Kono.
You're sticking with Teddy.
Yeah, Teddy killed Cheesemonger / Deli, killed Tim Kono. But who killed Oscar... Maybe actually Teddy kills Oscar.
And then
Theo kills Tim, has killed Tim Kono. No, I think Teddy has killed Tim Kono and then Theo kills Oscar.
Just to like, because Oscar maybe saw something or they're just getting too close.
We see that Oscar, we saw some outtakes from other, or not, like, what do you call it?
Previously, because
it wasn't previously on. It was like coming up, you know, shots of Oscar sitting at the table with Mabel and the other two guys as like a fourth Hardy Boy or fourth in the-
Where did we see this?
I don't know. It was in a commercial or something.
Oh. Are you doing more pre-cheating?
No, you were seeing it with me.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, my brain is just toast then.
So I think he somehow finds out more and then maybe he leaks it accidentally or something. And then there's a fight in Mabel's apartment and Oscar is dead. But she did not do it.
Oh, yeah. No, we know she didn't do it. No.
Yeah.
Mabel's a good kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we know that now for sure.
Yeah.
So that's where I stand.
Serial killer, or no, you're just sticking with the deli man.
Yeah, well, in that, the 6B.
Yeah, the deli man and 6B. All right.
The deli man and Theo. Yeah.
Working together. They're in cahoots.
Maybe, yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Theo's taking action. He does that clearly a lot.
Yeah.
and Teddy does too. They're both men of action.
They're both men of action. And okay, so speaking of people of action, I'm wondering if this could lead into a motive for Jan. Because the whole thing about Jan is that she was always second fiddle. She was all, not literally, but because she's first chair now. But she was always second. So I'm wondering how Tim or like, I wonder what about Tim would have made her feel less than or like not as important.
Hmm.
Or maybe like, oh,
what?
I wonder if she recognizes just how important this investigation is to Charles. And she gets upset that it's taking so much attention of Charles away from her. And so she's like, I need you to stop this. So
she
kills Oscar because she thinks this is what's going to end the podcast because she really is in love with Charles and she's a little obsessive
about being a
second fiddle podcast. That's what it is. I'm sticking with that. There we go. I swear to you, I'm going to track this episode. I need to find the script for this episode.
Yes.
I will go to the Writers Guild library to read this.
Oh, wait a minute. I think I can see what happens here.
Okay.
Maybe this is too obvious, but because Oliver can't take Teddy's money because Teddy did it, then they sell it to Cinda in order to wrap up the whole story.
There you go. I like that. Okay. Those are our guesses, people. We're going to strap in because we're giving in the home stretch. See you soon.
We'll keep you guessing.